relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Welcome, dear friends. We have a new press secretary at the White House. How did she perform? Well, let's have a look if she knows about economics, the very basics about economics. Play cut.
How does raising taxes on corporations lower the cost of gas, the cost of a used car, the cost of food for everyday Americans?
So look, I think we encourage those who have done very well, right, especially those who care about climate change, to support a fair tax code that doesn't change, that doesn't charge manufacturers, workers, cops, builders a higher percentage of their earnings, that the most fortunate people in our nation, and not let that stand in the way of reducing energy costs and fighting this existential problem, if you think about that as an example, and to support basic collective bargaining rights as well, right? That's also important. But look, it is, you know, by not, if without a tax code, which is what I'm talking about, then like manufacturing workers, cops, you know, it's not fair for them to have to pay higher taxes than the folks that who are not paying taxes at all.
They say it takes a big man to admit his mistakes. I'm going to do it right now. I thought we couldn't have a worse press secretary than Jen Psaki. Oh, how wrong I was. She was asked about corporate tax rates and inflation and replied with climate change, police officers, and collective bargaining. Maybe there's an economist out there who can explain it to me. Let's talk to a man who advised President Trump on creating the most powerful economy the world has ever seen. He's the author of Trumponomics. He's back at the conservative mothership, the Heritage Foundation, as senior fellow. Welcome back to America First One-on-One, Stephen Moore.
Hi, Sebastian. Great to be with you. And if you're hoping that I can explain that answer from our new press secretary, I'm afraid I cannot. I couldn't make heads or tails of what she was saying. It was actually kind of awkward, and I felt a little bit sorry for her, actually. You know, she was kind of partially reading from the notes and just reading a script, even though it had nothing to do with what the question was about. But look, all of this, all of these policies emanate from Joe Biden. She's just a mouthpiece, spitting out the sound bites that the White House has been putting out. But I think what's really more important than those crazy statements that were made in that press conference was, you know, you have somebody now, you know, who's the Jeff Bezos, who runs one of the largest companies in the world, who is a liberal Democrat, Sebastian, who's saying, wait a minute, none of this stuff is going to work.
Yeah, no, this is very significant that you have Jeff Bezos, you know, the owner of Amazon, the third richest man in the world, making fun. Let's just stop here for a second. We've got one of the richest, we have probably the richest liberal in the world, because Putin's number one, really. You've got Elon Musk, who's number two. Neither of them are lefties. So the richest lefty in the world, Jeff Bezos, Amazon, Washington Post, he's making fun of his Democrat president. Isn't that something that should make everybody, Steve, just kind of go, whoa, after 16 months, that's happening to this administration? That's a certain yardstick, is it not?
Look, I think there are a lot of kind of common sense Democrats who we may just disagree with in terms of, you know, some of their ideology, but also have some basic common sense. I mean, Jeff Bezos is a very brilliant businessman, regardless of what you think about his politics. And when you have people like that, that have been strong supporters of Biden saying, hey, wait a minute, none of this makes any sense. And then what was really disturbing, Sebastian, was that, you know, Biden's response to that was, oh, you just don't want to pay your fair share of taxes. And it's like, come on, here's a guy who's built a business that's one of the, you know, most successful businesses in the world history. He's a pretty smart guy. He knows a lot about, you know, business and making payroll and paying bills. And Biden knows nothing about that. And this was one of the things that I always said, you and I talked a lot about this. Even when I didn't agree with Donald Trump, and I agreed with him most of the time, he did understand business. He knew how things run and operate. Biden has none of that. It's all just this kind of left-wing ideological retort to every question.
So let's break that down a little bit. So without getting into, you know, wonkish territory, specific, very special indices, let's talk about the last 16 months. So will you give us the blow-by-blow? Because you wrote, you gave President Trump, you know, the guidance to create what was the strongest economy, not just for America, but the strongest economy the world had ever seen. And it looks to me, and I, you know, I'm not doing a conspiracy theory because this could be the result of just sheer incompetence. It looks to me as if the last 16 months is just a dismantling of what President Trump and advisors like yourself created. I mean, I don't see any area where they got it right. So talk to us about what they have done and what it has resulted in, which is affecting all Americans.
So I'm going to give three data points. It's a great question. And just to summarize, so just hold these three data points in your mind. The first one is inflation. When Donald Trump left office in January of 2021, do you know what the inflation rate was, Sebastian?
Tell me.
1.5%. 1.5%. Now we're at 8.5%. And by the way, if you want to make people really angry, say that inflation is 8.5%. I've been traveling all over the country. People get so mad at me when I say, they say it's not 8.5%. I'm paying 70% more for gasoline. I'm paying 50% more to heat my house or modified air conditioning. I'm paying 33% more for food. I'm paying, you know, 20% more for household items. The things I have to buy, my inflation rate is 25%, not 8.5%. So think about that. But let's just take the official number. You go from 1.5% inflation in 15 months to 8.5% inflation. I mean, how do you screw things up so quickly? I wouldn't have even thought that was possible. Data point number two, when Trump left office in January of 2021, Sebastian, you know this, we talked a lot about it at the White House. We were energy independent for the first time. We were actually exporting oil and gas. Now we're importing over 1 million barrels a day. And I think, by the way, if Trump were still president, we'd be exporting about 3 or 4 million barrels a day, not importing 1 million. So that's data point number two, is energy policy is completely screwed up. Number three, you know this, we had a median family income rose by somewhere around $6,000 adjusted for inflation under Trump's presidency. That was more than the entire eight years of Obama's presidency. Now we have declined. We have about a $2,000 or $3,000 decline in family income adjusted for inflation under Biden in just 1 year, in his first year in office. So those are lousy trends. And they show that, you know, when you change these policies that work, you know, you're going to get the opposite results.
And when you have the man who is, you know, the putative president get angry when he is asked about printing money causing inflation, then it seems as if, you know, they're denying 2 + 2 = 4, because there's no question that, you know, printing more money when there's more money to chase less things, that is the definition of inflation, is it not?
It is. It's as clear as the sun rising in the east, that when you borrow, you know, $3 trillion like we did last year, that, and that was all just this additional money. And we've got these lefties at the White House who are engaging in what's called modern monetary theory. They really believe the government can just spend and borrow as much as it wants to. It's going to have no negative effect. Well, we've learned the hard way. They were completely wrong about that. The inflation isn't getting better. It's getting worse. You know, the producer price index numbers came out last week, and they're above 10% now. And as I said earlier, people, for the things they have to buy, their essentials, they're facing an inflation rate of closer to 20%. So this is, here's the thing. Out of the last six times we had inflation this high in the last, you know, 50 years or so, four of those six times we had a crash landing and the economy landed in recession. Now, that doesn't mean it always happens, but it means it normally does. And the longer you let this inflation persist, the more gut-wrenching it is going to be to get this out of the economy. And yet everything Biden said in his speech last week on inflation, as Jeff Bezos said, everything he said is to move in the wrong direction. And you're going to get really bad results if that happens. Higher taxes, more regulation, build back better, you know, another $2 trillion of spending. He wants $1.5 trillion for student loan relief. He wants $40 billion for Ukraine. Why, if we're going to give $40 billion to Ukraine, can't we find somewhere to cut in the budget? There was a report that just came out yesterday in the Washington Post, of all places, something I've been saying for, you know, a year and a half now, $140 billion of fraudulent claims for unemployment benefits. I mean, nobody does a damn thing about this, Sebastian. One of the Democratic senators from Maryland said, oh, yeah, there was a lot of fraud, but we wanted to get the money out of the door as quickly as we could. And so you have a 25% fraud rate? I mean, that's a ripping off taxpayers. People should be angry.
I need to ask you whether you're seeing any glimmers of light on the other side of the political aisle. But first, make sure this is one of the few guys out there who can actually make the dismal science of economics interesting. He made it happen with President Trump, who had the right instincts. He wrote the book, Trumponomics. You've got to follow him, Stephen Moore, with a PH, Stephen Moore on Twitter. I'm Sebastian Gorka. If you enjoy America First One-on-One, be sure to be subscribed. Don't miss an episode. Go to the podcast platform of your preference, Spotify, plug in my name. It's absolutely free. Write a review. It makes a difference. And share the links with your friends. If you haven't done so already, be sure to join us for our Stand With Israel tour. Yes, later this year for 10 days, we are going to the Holy Land with my superlative Salem colleague, Dinesh D'Souza, the director of 2000 Mules, and his lovely wife, Debbie. Join us for the trip of a lifetime. Even if you've been to Israel before, you haven't been with me and Dinesh. I'm not vaccinated, and I'm going because Israel knows they got it wrong. Please go today to standwithisraeltour.com to secure your tickets for the trip of a lifetime. If you prefer, you can call 855-565-5519. That number again, 855-565-5519, or just go to the website, standwithisraeltour.com. That's standwithisraeltour.com. You've known it in your gut. Something just wasn't right about the 2020 election. Well, you were right. And here's the proof you've been waiting for. In Dinesh D'Souza's explosive new documentary, 2000 Mules, you'll see jaw-dropping evidence of exactly how the Democrats pulled off the biggest heist in American history, drawing on meticulous research from election integrity group True the Vote. 2000 Mules uses both cell phone geo-tracking data and video evidence to uncover a massive network of illegal ballot trafficking in all five key swing states. Enough election fraud to change the outcome of the 2020 election. Thousands across the country attended the nationwide theatrical release. Now you can watch from the comfort of your own home. Watch on any device with a web browser. Gather friends, family, and skeptics alike, but don't miss it. See the movie President Donald Trump calls a real blockbuster. Go to salemnow.com to watch today. That's salemnow.com. salemnow.com, sponsored by Salem Media Group. Stephen, let me just continue on that note. Are you seeing, because as a famous economist once said to me, economics is the science of demonstrating that water runs downhill. It's not, you know, it's not voodoo. It's not a dark art. It's common sense, right? It's just common sense. Is there anybody you're hearing on the other side of the aisle at a think tank or in the quote unquote political elite who's saying, yeah, this is nuts. We can't print more money, send money to the Ukraine, punish the wealth generators in America? Because I don't see it. Are you seeing it?
No, you don't. Well, you don't see it among any of the Democrats in Congress who are just very dutifully voting for every Obama initiative. You know, we have a race. I met with J.D. Vance this morning. You know, he's running against Tim Ryan from Ohio. This is an example of what you're talking about. And Tim Ryan's going around the state of Iowa saying, I'm a moderate Democrat. I'm a middle pro-worker Democrat. And J.D. said, well, that's interesting because you voted 100% with Joe Biden. So how are you a moderate Democrat? All these guys, they voted 100% with Biden on everything. So there's no voices of sanity in Congress except for Joe Manchin, who saved our country. Thank you, Joe Manchin. You really did save. And by the way, I'm sorry to go off on a tangent here.
Go ahead.
Jeff Bezos said, hey, the guy who really saved you was Joe Manchin. You know, you wanted to spend another $5 trillion because Biden's running around the country now saying he reduced the deficit. Can you believe this? You can't make this stuff up. He spent $3, $4 trillion and he's saying, oh, he's a fiscal conservative. And then, of course, here's the bigger problem, though, and I shouldn't be laughing because this is a very serious matter. There's nobody in the White House. There's no sane voice in the White House who is saying, hey, you know, you can't do this. You have to, there's no adult in the room. There's nobody who knows anything about business. There's nobody who knows anything about finance. These are just left-wing ideologues. And I'm very disappointed, by the way, in Janet Yellen. I thought Janet Yellen would be the one, she used to run the Federal Reserve Board. She knows better. She's just parroting all this craziness, you know, that is really ruining our economy. So that makes me very, very nervous.
What would have happened? Or if it still happens, what would happen if Build Back Better were passed? How much worse could it get, Steve?
Well, then you really are talking about, you know, and in his speech that he gave last week, Biden basically wanted a kind of mini-me version of Build Back Better. More taxes, more green energy, more subsidies to electric vehicles and things of that nature. And then you're talking about, I think you could see, you know, a 15% inflation rate. And I agree entirely with Elon Musk that the person who saved Biden was Joe Manchin for stopping that horrendous, horrendous bill. I don't see anything good. You know, remember, it was Bill Clinton after he, you know, his party got so defeated, said, well, the era of big government is over. And I commend him for that. He really did move to the middle on economics after the Republicans took over Congress. I just don't see any inclination in this White House to do it. What they're doing right now, Sebastian, they're doubling down.
Yeah.
They're doubling down on their failed policy.
Is there anybody in the think tank community on the left, in the chattering classes, that is trying to rein
in?
Because you live in that world.
Yeah, there is. There's, you know, I have a lot of respect for Larry Summers. Now, I've disagreed with Larry Summers over the years. He was Bill Clinton's Treasury Secretary and did a good job. But he's, you know, a lot more liberal than you and I are. But he's warned for Sebastian, he's warned for 8 months. Don't spend all this money. Don't borrow all this money. We're going to cause inflation. And then they try to, this is what they do to people. They try to crucify anyone who disagrees with them, even if they're members of their own party. That's why, you know, they hate Joe Manchin. They hate Joe Manchin.
So are we locked into this for 2.5 more years? Is it, or does the midterms, what is your strategy, or what are you advising? Because you are central to, you know, GOP Republican strategies and Club for Growth. You know, what is the, Freedom Works and Club for Growth.
Yeah.
What happens after the midterms? Can we use the power of the purse, or are the GOP just as drunk on spending as the left?
Boy, that's a good question. So first of all, I do expect a monster election in November for the Republicans. I lived through 1994, you know, I lived through 2010, and I think you're going to see another election like that. People are angry.
Yeah.
People are fearful and they're angry. And they should be. They should be, because this economy would be booming today if Trump was still president. That's why I feel like pulling my hair out. You know, what's the old saying? Don't build back better. Just leave it the way you found it. You know, we'd be in so much better shape. And so, of course, as my buddy Larry Kudlow says, the cavalry is coming. But I always say to Larry, you know, are you sure they're going to get here on time? Because there's a lot of damage that can be done over the next 6 months. But boy, I am worried too, Sebastian, about too many Republicans voting for the Biden agenda. We had 19 Republicans vote for that sham infrastructure bill in the Senate. They now have this crazy, they call it the China bill, which has us filled with all this green energy stuff and subsidies for the semiconductor industry. It's a terrible bill. I hate it. It's corporate welfare. Well, most Republicans are in favor of that. They said, you can't, look, if you're going to be an anti-big government policy, you can't vote for big government. So we'll see.
All right, but what are you advising? So what is the strategy? No, but after the midterms.
Cut government spending.
Okay.
Cut government spending as much as possible. We should do what I advised Kevin McCarthy and Steve Scalise and the Republican House leaders is, let's do immediately a 15% across the board cut in government spending. Now, I want to make an important point to you, Sebastian. This is really important. You asked me if Republicans can stop the spending if they take Congress. Of course they can. You know how much Joe Biden can appropriate in money? Zero. The president doesn't appropriate money. So Republicans will have the power to turn off the
right.
spigot.
Right. So I know. I mean, I'm fully aware as an immigrant. I had to take an exam on civics, you know, to become a naturalized citizen. So I'm aware of the power. But I want to hear from you what the plan is. We're talking to Stephen Moore, the author of Trumponomics. You're listening to America First, one-on-one. So, Steve, I am fully aware that, you know, the Senate has its role with regards to slowing down legislation, reviewing legislation. It is the House that has the purse strings. If we shellack the Democrats in the midterms, we will control government spending if we want to. The question is, and I know it's an impolite question to ask on the right, do we want to? If you look at the last 20 years of GOP spending practices and the state of the deficit, do you think magically after the midterms, the GOP is going to suddenly behave differently and rein anything in?
I hope so. I mean, I think that initially they will, but, you know, then they, you know, they're politicians. They like to play Santa Claus, whether they're Republican or a Democrat. But there's more than just the spending. I want to mention two other quick things. You know, we have to make the Trump tax cuts permanent. Those were so effective.
All right, so let's stop on that for a second. So this is a big project right now with our supporters, the Job Creators Network. They've got a petition. You can, you can check it out if you go to JCN, Job Creators Network.
Mike Lindell has a true passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their lives. Therefore, he created the Giza Dream bed sheets. They look and feel incredible, which translates to an even better night's sleep for you. Mike's latest amazing deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you will receive 60% off the Giza Dream sheets that come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. You'll receive a full set for as low as $39.99. And for a limited time, with any purchase, you'll receive Mike's soft cover book free when you use promo code GORKA. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use promo code GORKA. Along with this offer, you'll also get deep, deep discounts on all his MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-829-8468, promo code GORKA. Just go to MyPillow.com, promo code GORKA.
Explain, because people kind of forget it. You know, they think of crushing ISIS, securing the border, and then now they look at the price of gas. Will you walk us through why the Jobs Act and the tax, the new tax act under President Trump is so essential? Because it sunsets in 2025. Tell us why that was such an engine for growth and prosperity.
Because we made America competitive again in the international markets. And all of a sudden, when we lowered our business tax rates and our tax rates on individuals and entrepreneurs, what happened, Sebastian, we started sucking capital from the rest of the world into the United States. I remember talking to Trump many times in the Oval Office and saying, you know, sir, your tax cut is even working better than Larry Kudlow and I thought it would. And he would smile and, you know, he would nod his head because it really did. And then we had the lowest poverty rate. Did you know that, Sebastian? The lowest poverty rate for blacks and Hispanics ever in the history of this country.
Right. And lowest unemployment rate since record keeping began.
And yet they still called him a racist. You know, he provided more economic advancement in 3 or 4 years for blacks and Hispanics than Obama did in 8 years and Biden has done in his first year and a half. So I never understood, how is he a racist if he's done so much good for minorities? And the other thing we have to do is we have to produce American energy, all of it, of everything we got. And we should be at 15 million barrels a day of production. Under Biden, we're at 11 million. So that means 4 million barrels a day less than we should be producing. And do the math there, Sebastian. 4 million barrels a day at $100 a barrel, more than $100, at $110. That's almost half $1 billion a day.
Yeah.
That we're losing because of this crazy, lunatic, green energy, climate change agenda, which seems to be an obsession with this White House.
And where does the cutting begin? So say the GOP finds a spine, we win in the midterms. Let's be concrete. Give us the things we start cutting day one and say, nope, no appropriations for that. Sorry.
Well, you know, first I would start by just cutting everything by, you know, 10 or 15%, because these agencies had 30% increases during COVID. So start with that. Just across the board, everything gets cut. And then you start looking at agencies of government we don't need. Why are we still spending money on the International Monetary Fund? Why are we spending? Can we pull out of the WHO? Can we pull out of some of these United Nations agencies? Why do we give money to the World Bank? Why are we spending so much money? We spend $100 billion a year in the Department of Education. Has it had any impact on school performance? None that I see.
No, no. All right, so we've got a plan of 50. I would say at least 20%. Why don't we start with 20%?
Okay. I'm with you. I love it. Yeah, I mean, why not? These agencies are so flush with cash right now. You know, American families are struggling, but the government is you know, we're now close to 40% of our entire economy now government. That means we're 40% a socialist country. We've got to get it down. You know, Milton Friedman would say the first thing you got to do if you want more growth is cut the government spending as much as possible. That's exactly the opposite of what Biden has done. Another quick thing. Trump really did. The deregulation was so enormously beneficial.
Yeah.
And remember when Trump said, I'm going to eliminate two regulations for every new regulation that we enact. It turned out he did 22 eliminations.
Right. This is one of my favorite stories that, you know, when we came into the White House, it was two sliced for one new one. And then 9 months in, you know, he said, okay, what's the math, guys? And it was 22 to 1 slashed for every new regulation. And you can see what it did to the economy. It was just getting government off the back of the actual wealth creators, which really aren't, you know, the big corporations. It's the small to medium-sized businesses that employ more than 60% of the workforce. We're talking to Stephen Moore. The book is Trumponomics. You can follow him, his work, at heritage.org or on Twitter, at Stephen Moore, with a PH, at Stephen Moore. Steve, I want people who have lost hope, who, you know, when I go to California to visit my kids, and my daughter, who's in a very well-paid job at, you know, age 24, says to my wife as we're parting ways, I'm going to go and smoke a cigar and the ladies are going to go shopping. And I hear my daughter say to my wife, hey Mom, would you mind filling up my car with gas? You realize, oh, my gosh, my successful young daughter, it's a big deal for her to spend over $100 to fill her, you know, her little sedan's gas tank in California. You can kind of run away with that dark feeling and say, that's it, we're done, we're toast, the Green New Steel is coming. Would you spin a little bit of a historic perspective on not just what you've advised President Trump to do, which created that incredible engine of growth that was the American economy, but reassure our millions of listeners and viewers that what was done then can be done again, and how we transition, for example, from the disasters. I mean, people think it's bad now, but at least we're not waiting in lines based upon the whether we've got an odd or even tag license at the gas station like Carter. So, you know, Reagan brought us back from the malaise of Carter. Can it be done again if we have two more years of this insanity, Stephen?
Well, first of all, I think most Americans know this. I can't tell you how many times, because I've been on the road a lot lately, Sebastian. I've been every state from Florida to Maine to Arizona, and I was in Montana last week. So I've been seeing a little slice of Americana, and people will come up to me on the street corners or in a bar or a hotel, and they'll talk to me, and they'll say, you know, and even Democrats do, Sebastian, and they'll say, you know, I didn't really like Donald Trump. I didn't even vote for him, but I really liked his policies. I liked what he did for the economy. And I can't tell you how many times that is happening. And I think you're seeing that with people like Elon Musk. You know, they may not like Trump. They sure like the results. And so what, you know, the left loves to talk about science. Well, we had a big scientific experiment under Trump. We cut taxes. We cut regulations. We have better trade deals. We produced more and more American energy. But the left said it wasn't going to work. We said it would. And we had the biggest boom ever. So let's do it again. What's so complicated about that?
So there's nothing about what they're doing now or the depths they've plumbed us to that can't be fixed with leadership.
Oh, it can be fixed. It's not going to be fixed by this leadership, unfortunately. I mean, this murderer's row of Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, you know, and Nancy Pelosi and the majority leader of the Senate, Chuckie Schumer. I mean, they are atrocious and they're wrong on everything. And so, you know, I'll put a little positive spin on this. I mean, when some of my more, you know, conservative friends say, maybe Americans had to see this, you know, to know how bad things can get when you get the policies wrong and when you with your experiment in socialism. I mean, You've lived under socialism, Sebastian, so you know these things never work. Why do we always have to try it again and again and again? When will people realize that socialism, fascism, all of these isms, you know, that are supposed, you know, what do they call it, democratic socialism, they don't work anywhere.
Yeah, the definition of madness. Thank you, Mr. Einstein. It is doing the same thing again and again and again, expecting a different result the next time. Well, let me ask about one thing that seems to be a kind of secret weapon in the back pocket of the Democrats, and there's this constant threat that they're going to wipe out student loan to just, you know, buy more votes from a certain demographic and age category. How does the whole student loan debt fit into all of these discussions, Stephen?
Oh, I think people are so angry about this. You've met my wife, Ann.
Yeah.
You've been to her house, and you know she's usually kind of a calm person, but you know she's a perfect example of someone who did it the right way. So she didn't come from a wealthy family. She took out loans so she could go to UCLA, and she graduated. Then, as any new college, you know, graduate, she didn't have a real high paying job when she graduated, but you know she did, you know, pretty well for herself. But every paycheck for the next 12 years, she'd take money out of that paycheck, and she was living paycheck to paycheck and pay back her loan. I mean, that's what a upstanding person does, right? You borrow money, you pay back the money. And so there's something unscrupulous about this idea that somehow all these deadbeats, and I'm going to use that term, deadbeat. If you don't pay for a deadbeat, I know they'll probably take me off the air for hate speech, but let's call us. But look, that's what it is. Now, imagine for a minute, the left loves to talk about fairness. How in the world is it fair for someone like my wife who scrimped and saved and did the right thing and paid back her loan? Now she's so damn angry. She's like, now I got to pay taxes for the deadbeats who didn't pay back the loan. She said, I feel like a chump.
But not only that, not only the principle of fairness against, you know, people like your wife that actually paid off their debts on time. There's also there's an ethnic minority aspect that the people with these absolutely useless degrees, such as gender studies or sustainability, are most often, you know, affluent white kids from the middle class.
Yes.
And then you're asking people who left high school to actually do real jobs like plumbers to pay with their taxes for the useless, debt-ridden, what did you call them, deadbeats who are mostly white. I mean, it's the antithesis of what they preach to us, Steve, social justice.
Exactly. And by the way, how many people going forward do you think would ever pay back a student loan if we forgive $1.5 trillion of student loans? You'd be crazy to do it. And you're also right that, you know, that the people who aren't paying back their loans, you know, over half of them have graduate degrees, for goodness sakes. So what did they learn? And one other quick thing on this subject. I mean, I've made this point so many times that I think one of the greatest financial scams in our country is how much these universities and colleges are charging our families. It's outrageous, the tuitions. And if somebody's going to have to pay these loans back, I say let the universities with their billions of dollars of endowments, why don't they use their endowments to pay off those loans?
Which, by the way, if you do a little bit of historic research, you know, these massive colleges like Stanford that has an endowment of, what, $36, $37 billion with a B, when they were founded by Governor Stanford, for example, the intent was that no student paid to go there. They were free rides. The money was raised to endow the fees, the student tuition. And now, no. Give us $65,000 into a non-taxable, not-for-profit slush fund, which is, you know, these universities are real estate ventures that give
they
you
are.
A degree. That's one thing I say. Don't give them a penny if you're a graduate. And when President Trump's comes back, we've got to tax them into the ground. You can't make money as a not-for-profit and then not actually do the objective you were created to actually accomplish. So there's a little plan you can whisper into President Trump's ear. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First One-on-One with Steve Moore, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Okay, so I'm going to get out my, it's not quite one of Ollivander's magic wands from Diagon Alley, but it is, it's a nice gold cross pen. It's going to be my wand today. I'm going to wave my wand, Stephen Moore, and President Trump is the president again. I know he's running. If this continues for 2 years, he's going to stroll back into the White House if we can secure those elections. So it is January the 21st. He's in the Oval Office. He says, Stephen, come in here. Tell me, where should we begin? Give us your two things to start with January 21st, 2025.
Do what you were doing in your first term, Mr. President. Just about everything you did worked. We had the best economy in 50 years. We have, as you said, Sebastian, the lowest poverty rate, lowest unemployment rate, biggest wage gains for all groups, for women, for minorities, for everyone. This is a president who did not divide us. You know, that's what the left loves, dividing us into all these different groups. And it's not complicated. You put somebody in the White House who knows how to run a business, who has common sense, who puts America first. And I'm so sick of people saying that the MAGA agenda was some kind of jingoistic thing. No, this made everybody better off. It created a rising tide that lifted all boats. If I sound a little angry today on your show, it's because I am. I am so angry at what this administration has done to ruin this economy in 15 months when we should be booming. And so, yes, can Trump fix it? Yes, he can, Sebastian, and he will if he gets back to the White House. I think it would take him 6 months to get the economy back in order.
But after the midterms, the GOP has to pull on its big boy pants, and they have to get serious about not allowing the federal spending to continue like
That's
it is
right.
today, correct?
Absolutely. And Congress has the power of the purse, so use it. And the power of the purse not just means spending money, but also means not spending money that we don't have. We have a $31 trillion national debt, folks. When I first came to Washington in 1985, the national debt was under $2 trillion. Think about that. We've added $30 trillion to our debt.
Sheer insanity. Educate yourself. Get the book by Stephen Moore, Trumponomics. He's part of the reason that President Trump created the wealth and prosperity that all of us enjoyed, irrespective of our skin color, under the first administration. And we need him back there whispering into President Trump's ear when we have the second Trump administration. Senior fellow with the Heritage Foundation, that's heritage.org, and you can find him on Twitter, @StephenMoorePH, that's @StephenMoore. You've been listening to America First One-on-One. If you enjoy the show, be sure to subscribe. Go to Spotify, plug in my name. It's absolutely free. Do a little review. It helps with those dastardly algorithms. And of course, share the links. That way you can guarantee that you will never, ever miss a moment. That's Spotify, America First, Sebastian Gorka. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head on a swivel, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
I have a dream today. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Have you performed abortions at that stage? And in doing so, have you had baby parts that you've had to discard or store in some capacity?
One of the things that you all have done
legs,
throughout
arms,
throughout
eyes.
This hearing is just use inflammatory language.
It's a question. Ma'am, it's a simple question. Have you had human parts, baby parts, arms, legs, as a result of an abortion performed at the time you just acknowledged you performed abortions?
I am a physician and a proud abortion provider. There is nothing that you can say
yes or no
makes it difficult for me to talk about the care that I provide. Right.
Just those words. I am a physician and a proud abortion provider. tell you everything you need to know. That's Yashica Robinson testifying before the House, before Chip Roy yesterday, asking a very simple question. When you abort a child, when you actually have to dismember that unborn human child, what happens to the body parts? She refuses to answer, because if she did, then the people who support her would know what's really happening, what is involved in a late-term abortion. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Big news of the day, as far as I'm concerned, and I tweeted it out as soon as I heard it, was the fact, it's been leaked from the Department of Homeland Security, there is an active, verified threat assessment against the six associate justices and chief justices that were conservative nominees to the Supreme Court against their lives. Threats against the lives of those six justices and their clerks. Each four clerks that works for each of those justices. As a result, the U.S. Marshal Service has been ordered to provide security at their homes as well. In the meantime, what do we have? We have putative conservative governors that have justices living in their states, such as Glenn Youngkin, say this on live television. Play cut.
Governor Hogan and I have absolutely demanded that Attorney General Garland enforce the federal statute, which is to put people in jail for parading and picketing.
I don't think he's
going to
do that,
homes.
Though. Do you think Garland's going to step up and do that?
I will tell you, I don't think he will, and he absolutely should. It's clear in the statute that that's illegal, and he should enforce it.
So what are we going to do?
We have substantial assets in our state police, and we, in fact, are poised ready to make sure that there's no violence at our justices' homes.
You're poised? What, you're poised with your state troopers at their headquarters? It's going to be a little bit late, Glenn, when that Molotov cocktail goes through Justice Alito's front window to his home, or when a shot is fired through the door of Clarence Thomas, to have your state troopers poised for action. You have a duty. You have a solemn responsibility as the governor of Virginia to protect the citizens of your state, especially when you just admitted that the Department of Justice and the Attorney General will not do their job. It is a federal crime to intimidate a member of the Supreme Court. It is also a crime in the Commonwealth to picket outside of private homes. Do your job, man. I went to speak at an event last night. It was combined with a dinner. I didn't arrive for the dinner. My wife and I had already eaten. We arrived half an hour before we had to speak. And I sat down at one of the tables, and a lovely older gentleman was sitting next to me, introduced himself, had worked in setting up the Department of Homeland Security under the Bush administration. And this was an association for conservatives. This was a meeting for Virginian conservatives. And he asked me about my show prep, how long I take to prepare for my show. I told him the truth. But then I said, I listen to a lot of radio to prepare for the show. I'm on social media. I get hours of talk radio and podcasts in throughout the day. So basically, we're always preparing. And I mentioned one of the hosts that I love to listen to. It's a name I've mentioned many times on this show. And this elderly conservative gentleman said, oh, yeah, he's okay. Except sometimes he's too extreme. Yeah, he just goes too far. And I, what? One of my favorite broadcasters is an extremist and goes too far. And I asked him to give me an example. Well, what is it about him? What is it that he said that's too extreme for you? And he said, I don't know. I can't recall. And then he said this. With regards to what we're discussing, I just wish this Supreme Court decision hadn't leaked now. It's just too much tension, too much division. And I wish they'd brought the decision on Roe v. Wade after the midterms, because this pro-life thing, it's just too divisive. This pro-life thing is too divisive. I didn't use the gentleman's name, but when I stood up 20 minutes later to give my speech, I talked about what he said to me. That the pro-life issue is too divisive. What is each side saying? On our side, we're saying, protect the innocent, protect the unborn. Allow the states to be the states. Federal government should have no role in this. We are a republic of states. Return the issue to the states where they can decide whether they want to be abortion or anti-abortion, where representatives will have to argue in front of their constituents and pass laws. What does the other side say? The other side says this. Cut 12, again, from Rashika Robinson.
How about if a child is halfway out of the birth canal? Is an abortion permissible then?
Can you repeat your question?
If a child is halfway delivered out of the birth canal, is it permissible to have an abortion? Would you support the right for an abortion then?
I can't even fathom that
ever. I'm not asking you if you can fathom it. If it occurred, would you support that abortion or not? That's unrestricted abortion, right?
That's a question that I can't imagine. Just like you probably can't imagine what you would do if your daughter was raped. If it hasn't happened, it may be difficult for you.
You're not going to answer this question, but how about this one? How does one qualify as fully human? What makes a human being?
What makes a person a human being is them being born, number one. That's why we have birthdays.
You're not human until your birthday. We're the ones who are being divisive. We're the extremists. We're the radical radio hosts. That gentleman heard what I had to say. If you're not prepared to protect this republic and the unborn, you don't deserve to live in America. You don't deserve to use the appellation of patriot. There is nothing more important for a man or for a civilization to protect the innocent, whether they're a product of rape, whether they're in an old people's home, or whether they're going shopping around their everyday chores. Our job is to protect the vulnerable. It's not extremism. It is our duty. And the other side is a cult, a culture of death. And we must stop them. What are you doing about it? Are you politically engaged? Are you running for office? Are you supporting somebody who is? Because if you're not, you are part of the problem. We have a republic to save. We have an amazing show for you. Don't go anywhere. Don't miss a nanosecond of America First. Make sure that you are subscribed. Go to Spotify, plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Write a review. It helps. Share the links and never miss an episode. This is the Salem News Channel.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.